Blessed Eternal Father, we come before you this blessed morning to give all the glory and honor, praises and adoration to you, because you are worthy of everything. We thank you for your provision for our needs. Thank you for answers to our prayers, testimonies of your goodness and mercy, your guidance, your blessings. So many ways that you have shown your grace, mercy, and love to us this past week. We are grateful to you. Lord, thank you for sparing our life to see this blessed morning. Lord, the day that we commemorate your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for the past services. Lord, that you have blessed our souls with. And the blessings, Lord, we pray that your spirit continue to expand and establish in our heart your glory. We have come before you again as your people, needy ones. And we have come to him that has inexhaustible fountain of blessings. Gracious Lord, may you give us the faith of the Son of God in our heart, that we might, Lord, get all that we desire from you. Thank you, Eternal Father. Forgive our sins and our shortcomings, whatever, Lord, that the enemy can point accusing finger to in our lives to hinder us of what we desire from you, of your mercy and favor. May your blood cleanse us, Lord. As we come before you, Master, that you reveal yourself to us this morning again, and we commit ourselves to you for the entire services of the day, and the main service, the evening service. Lord, come and reflect yourself to us. Our desire is to be blessed of you. You make yourself known to us, and so that we can love you better and we can serve you better. Thank you, Father. Let every need, spiritually, financially, material, physical, whatever, know that might be the need of anyone here. You are more than enough to answer, to grant. May you give testimony to your people. At the end of the services of the day, let it be that we are all blessed, and all the glory and honor will be yours. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers for me. When I traveled to Benin, I think this is about the first time that I'm having to speak to the church after that. Though I've been in the church Wednesday. Am I correct? Yes, this is the first time I'm standing here after coming back from Benin. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. I saw your hands in the services, and I appreciate the Lord. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 24. What do we want to do this morning? Just little answers to questions, existing questions from the message. Matthew 24, we're going to read verse 1 to 3. I will read John chapter 14 as well. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? Or what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? John chapter 14. We'll read from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also, and henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. I just felt I should go this way this morning. I have a few questions here that these are not questions written from the congregation here. Yeah. But from the congregation where the prophet preached the seven seals. The first seal, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. Questions that emanated from the seals. That the people, not so many questions really, you know, directly, because as at the time the prophet was preaching it, many people did not understand a number of things. It was in 1964 when, you know, there were questions, and I believe by that time people have been digesting the word. They've been going through it, and that's when more questions on things relating to disease came forth. That was about a year thereafter. But the way the seals were preached, the first six seals were preached. And then Sunday morning, the prophet preached. The prophet answers questions. He requested that he wanted questions from the people, that because he felt that having preached that long, that there might be one question or the other, you know, from the people. And so people sent forth their questions. Some people were requesting for prayers. Some people were asking questions that didn't relate to the seas at all. Majority of the questions, but some of them relate to the questions, to the seas. And so we're picking some of them this morning by the grace of God to let you know that people ask questions, you know, on what they hear, seeking more understanding on the things that they have heard. And is prophet encouraging us to ask questions on things, you know, that might not be very clear, because you must have a grasp of what is being said. You must have a grasp of what is being said, except God has helped you to have perfect understanding. We cannot afford to go with confusion at this time, because there's no reason for it, except we lack revelation. Because it is when we lack revelation that we still remain confused. Praise be to God. So we are going to look at question 179. Question 179. Question and answers on the seals. Sorry, I mean 75, not 79. Question 175. I also want to. From paragraph 95. Question 175. The question says, according to the opening of the fifth seal, Moses and Elijah have to die. What about Enoch? I remember one time while Brother Bram was preaching on Moses and Elijah, that they are the ones that will come back to the children of Israel during the Great Tribulation. While the preaching was going on, somebody in the congregation said, "What about Enoch?" In his heart. But Abraham said, "Well, you are saying what about Enoch?" He said, "But I let you know that it is Moses and Elijah." And so, let's go through this morning. Few things that the prophet had to say. So, the question says, according to the opening of the fifth seal, Moses and Elijah have to die. What about Enoch? And that same question. What about Enoch? The prophet said, "I don't know." You see? If I don't know, I'm just going to tell you I don't know. See, I don't know all the answers, folks. I don't know. And if I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know. If I do know, I won't tell you till I know. I do know. See, I don't know. I've often wondered about that myself. That was Enoch. As this Moses comes and Elijah comes back, and they are killed. See, but now Enoch was translated before time. I've often thought and wondered myself, what about that? But then here is the only consolation that I can say is this. Now notice Moses only served God 40 years. See, he was 120. The first 40 years, he was getting his education. That's right. The second 40 years, God was taking it out of him in the wilderness. And the third 40 years, he served God. See, all right. But Enoch walked 500 years before God. 500 years and was blameless. See. So Moses comes back to serve more time. Him and Elijah. Now that, I don't say that right, see. I just give you that for a thought. But just to say what part, I don't know. I really can't tell you what happened there or what God will do. Praise be to God. But there is no promise that Enoch was coming, because you will understand, like somewhere else, further reading of the scripture, the prophet made us to know that as at this time, the nations of the Jews have not been established. We might go further from there. The nations of the Jews at the time of Enoch. If you go back to Genesis, let's go back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We see the genealogy. From Adam to Enoch, you will see that there are seven generations. And then from Enoch to Abraham, you have, okay, let me see how many generations do we have. We have from Enoch. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Abraham was the 20th from Adam. So which means from Enoch to Adam, from Enoch to Abraham, it will be 13. Isn't it? Generations. Scripture. Genesis chapter 5. If you read it, you will see that. I even
touched on this for a long time. Mr. There.
Yeah. Genealogy from Adam to Abraham. So we have it there. So Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahal, Lahil, Jared, and Enoch. So you will see here that the nation of Israel, of the Jews, of the Hebrews, didn't start until Abraham. Are you with me? So Enoch was not a Jew. Because God started the nations of Israel, the Hebrews, on Abraham. He was the first person that God called as a Gentile
and that God is relating the same with the that God called during that time. The prophet said it was a supernatural call that God got it by because of election. Here. So we cannot connect Enoch with the Jews. So he wouldn't be the one to come and preach to the Jews. It's Elijah and Moses. They were the prophets of the Jews. And the prophet said they will only listen to their prophets. And that was why when Abraham also made an attempt to go to them, to go and preach, to go and show them the sign of the Messiah. During that time. The sign of the Messiah. And people told Abraham that, look, these people, they are waiting for their Messiah. If they can see that sign, they discern it, that they will believe. Abraham prepared. He was going. He got close. Can't remember the country he got to. And God told him, go back. They will never listen to you because you, it's not their time. You are not a Jew. They will only listen to their prophets. It's only Moses and Elijah that's coming back for them. So, it's only the Jews, that the Jews prophet that the Jews will listen to. And they knew Moses, they knew Elijah. And that was why the Bible described their ministries in Revelation chapter 11. Praise be to God. All right. Question 178. Right? What does see thou hot not the oil and the wine mean in Revelation chapter 6 verse 6? You know, this pertains to the seed, like the first question that we have just treated. The prophet said, it is the Holy Spirit. See? He said, what does see thou hot not the oil and the wine mean in Revelation 6? There was somebody that was in the meeting. The high word Abraham said about it. Abraham preached about it and he spoke, elaborated on it. Still, somebody needed some better understanding, some clarification. And the person there has that question. The prophet said it is the Holy Spirit. See, we just go through that. Probably somebody, you know, came in a little late for the message. Well, for the other tape, you see, hot not the oil and the wine. We remember under the, when we were treating this, in one of the seas, Revelation chapter, let's read Revelation chapter 6 and then bring that out for us to see again. That was the third seal, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hot not the oil and the wine. That was the question, the person, what does it mean? Abraham said, and we have just gone through it. Now, the oil, as we took it in symbol, means the Holy Spirit. See, wine is an oil. Wine and oil are connected together in the Bible, in worship. See, and the wine, as we put, that's where I got the idea, the stimulation. Wine stimulates. And wine, its archetype of his natural from stimulation is revelation. So, now just think, what stimulates the church? Revelation. The church is not stimulated by social media comedians. Are you with me? The church is not stimulated, the church is not entertained. And when I say the church, I mean the body of Jesus Christ. Born again Christians, they are not entertained by this sinful social media dramatist, artist. They are not entertained. It's the Holy Spirit that entertains, delivers And the believer is stimulated by the revelation from the word. See, so wine, the new wine will now watch. The oil and wine were together in sacrifice. They went together in the church worship. Notice symbol together, connected together. If you got a concordance, you look and see a whole string where wine and oil is met together in worship. If you got a crudence, wow, it says up there. Now notice on this, but you see, the oil is always the Holy Spirit. We find that over in Ezekiel, and we find it in the Old Testament. We find it all through the New Testament. Why do we anoint the sick with oil? We anoint the sick with oil because it symbolizes the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon them. See? Also, the wise virgin had oil. The unwise had no oil. Spirit, see? Now, that's the oil. And then the wine, the oil represents God. God is spirit, see? God is the word. In the beginning was the word. What was with God? What was made flesh? And that was God. Now then, if the word now sit here in a natural form now, the wine is the water-like that, or the revelation that reveals that interprets the interpretation of the word. It is this word or the revelation that reveals that interpretation of the word, which stimulates the believer. When the word is revealed, the believer is stimulated. When the word is revealed, the believer is stimulated. When that revelation is God opening your eye to see something you have not seen before, and you say, wow. Whether you say, wow, is a stimulation. Some people are quite emotional. Some are not emotional. So your reaction will not be based upon your disposition if you are highly emotional or you're not highly emotional. So when that stimulation comes upon you, your emotional disposition will make you to display what, you know, somebody will come and roll and say, praise be to God. Somebody can just raise his hand and say, yes, I got it. Whereas somebody will jump up, will be jumping. We are not talking about artificial stimulation. Where people will shout, they will not allow the congregation to hear what the preacher is saying again. We are not talking about makeup, stimulation, acting stimulation. We are not talking about that. Because when the word of God is revealed to us, it produces an action from you that you display immediately. You just say, amen, in a special way, not a natural one, because you have caught something. And after that revelation, a life follows. A life, and that kind of life that follows is the life of God. Because the reason why revelation is given is that the lie behind it might be made known. When God reveals himself, you know, in the sermon, what's the title of the sermon? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The prophet said three things that God had in mind. He wants to make himself known to the people. One of them. So, because he wants to make himself known to the people, he condescended. And then revealed himself in a way. And through that, he got into his people. So that through us, he can then make himself known to the world. And so, once God is revealed to you, it becomes a responsibility for you to now reveal that God to the world. But if Christ has not been revealed to you, you can't reveal him to the world. The revealing of Christ to you is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you say, has Christ been revealed to you? We are not talking about letters. We are not talking about whether you have read about him in the Bible. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Abraham made us to know that when the Bible says that,
no man calleth Jesus Christ the law. No man. Let's look at it so that I can place it right. Sorry, let me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to place it right because I'm all right. No man calleth Jesus the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. When Brabham was interpreting this place, he made us to understand that as you read it there and you say Jesus is the Lord, you are just repeating what the Bible says. That you are just repeating what the Bible says. Or when you hear a preacher preach it and you are repeating what the preacher says. He said it's different from when Jesus is revealed to you personally. Which Abraham says that what is to be born again? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Is Christ, Jesus Christ personally revealed to you. Personally revealed to you. And is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says here that no man can call it Jesus a curse. No man by the Holy Spirit, that no man speaking by the Holy Spirit can call Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the law but by the Holy Spirit. Because the prophet says that Jesus is the law, that means the Lord over your life. He has the control over your thought, he has control over your idea, control over your opinion, your views about life. Once God's word says something about those areas, you surrender. That's when he's your Lord. But when you argue with his word, you still go with your idea and opinion, then it's not your Lord. When you say Jesus is the Lord, you are just quoting what the Bible says. You is really not your Lord. It's your Lord because Lord, the prophet said, Lordship means ownership. When you say Jesus is the Lord, you are saying Jesus is my owner. Our sisters that call their husband Lord, Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, they understand the mystery of that, just like Adam. Just like Sarah, call Father Abraham, my Lord, my owner. That's the person that owns me. So the husband owns the wife. And this is a spiritual aspect. Jesus Christ bought us with his own life. And the proof of it is that he has given you a portion of himself, which is the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit is in you, you aren't going to kick against his word. That word of God becomes your absolute. Every decision, every step, every advice, everything you are going to do, you compare with that word. When it's contrary to that word, you don't agree. But when that word says it, if that word disagrees with your views, if your word is different from what God says, you throw away your idea, your view, your understanding, you take what God says. That is when Jesus is your Lord. It's not just saying Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, like the singers and they are in trousers. Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. With, palm hair, with lipsticks. You get it? With fingernail polish, with all these things on their highlight. With, what do you call it? Is it pedicure? This artificial fingernails that they put. All of them. They see Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. But not over their lives. So Jesus must be the Lord over our lives by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the proof that Jesus is the Lord over your life is that you do nothing but follow his word. Praise be to God. So no man can call Jesus by the Holy Spirit. No man speaking by the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is cursed. You cannot. Because you will forever bless him. Because that spirit is the one in spirit form. Can't curse himself. And when he's in you, you can never say he's the Lord except he's inside of you. When you say he's the Lord and he's not in you, you're just mimicking what somebody else has said. Praise be to God. Yeah, the next. Okay, we're about to be done with that.
Okay.
The prophet said, I don't know that till the other.
Yeah, I don't know that till the other day, sitting there, talking about stimulation by revelation. The oil, the wine means stimulation. The oil is the anointing. So, the oil and the wine. The oil represents the spirit. You know, the wine represents stimulation. You know. So, the prophet says, God is the world in the beginning. Okay? We are here. Or the revelation that reveals that interpretation of the world, which stimulates the believer. You see? Mine. They just say, I have never seen it before. That stimulation, I've never seen it before. Wow, that's great. No, stimulation. The prophet is just expressing there. My glory. That's what? See, stimulation. See, of revelation.
You cannot, if that revelation strike you, you can't keep quiet where you are. Like we said, it's not a mimic or thing. It's not something you impersonate. It's not because somebody say amen. And you just, let me not be the only one keeping quiet here. Let me also say amen. That'll be impersonation. You know, it's not that. It is God personally dealing with you. Now, we have to understand something, that from the revelation of the seven seals, it's been emphasized a whole lot by the prophet, that God deals with the Jews as a nation. Not as individuals. He saves them as a nation. But to the Gentile, is individual. You as a person, not you and your husband. So that's why you cannot compromise with your husband. Not you and your wife. That's why you cannot compromise with your wife. Not you and your children. That's why you can't compromise with your children. Not you, children, and your parents. That's why you can't compromise with your parents. It's you an individual. You as an individual. God deals with you. God might be dealing with the husband. He leaves the wife alone. God might be dealing with the wife. He doesn't do anything with the husband. He might be dealing with the two of them together. Depending on his election. And he might be dealing with the children and have nothing to do with the parents. He might deal with the parents together with the children based on his decision, on his predestinated plan. He can do that. So what we are saying is that don't follow another person. Better be an individual. Know what you are doing. Be convinced of, don't take somebody else's revelation. Don't take somebody else's view. Because we have seen that most times, it is where the husband leans in a certain thing, in a decision. That's where the wife leans also. If your husband is leaning toward what is wrong, and you wife, you pray by the word, have discernment to know, be able to advise your husband and later. He may not agree, but go back and go and be praying. If you follow him, both of you will fall into the ditch. So you have to, it's an individual race. It's not a collective thing. That's why Abraham said this revelation is not going to be given collectively. It's not going to be given collectively. It's an individual. If it's, and the proof of it is that see how God called the Ethiopian eunuch. He has to ask Philip to go and join the chariot of the man. It was the man alone. It's not, it was why was not there, his children were not there. Now that by the time God calls you, then the grace of God must rub upon others. If they are elected, they will see the light through you. If they are not, they will be condemned at the end of the day. Because they have seen the light truly. Praise be to God. So, stimulation. I don't know what that till the other day. Sitting there either. See? Now, what does the oil and wine? That was, see? That you hurt not. That was the black horse rider. And that was during the time of the dark age, the third age of the church. Notice, and in there is just a little bit of it left. Just a little bit, but don't hurt it. And I believe you got that, the third seal on tape. You'll find it there where we explain it in details, or in details, rather. God bless you. Let's bow our heads.
Our gracious Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity again to come to your house and learn again of you. Thank you for all the great things that you have taught your children in the course of the revelation of the seven seals. Lord, and by extension, this question and answer, Lord, is to bring some memory back from those things. We pray that your spirit will make it a revelation in the heart of every one of us. We don't want to just be hearers and not the doers. We don't want to be a spectator. Lord, in your house, on your program, make us actors, Heavenly Father. Lord, people that you actually, for their sake, brought these things unto this generation. We pray, O God, that it will have effect in the life of both parents and children, that none of us will be left behind. Let your blessing be upon this, Heavenly Father. Bless your servant that you have used, O God. See us through the rest of the services. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So, just